Welcome to The Bearer and the Ball. I am your host, Nick Webster. Thrilled today to welcome to the show a professional rugby player and coach, a world rugby educator, and a recruitment specialist for one of Cal South's brand new clients, Captain U and Stack Sports. Welcome to The Bearer and the Ball, Danny Carlton.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Very well, thank you, Danny. And obviously, I can hear a thick accent. Where are you from?
Yeah, guilty. I'm originally from Manchester, Manchester, England. So was there for 21 years. But that's me. Sale, Manchester specifically.
So I've described you as a rugby player, but I've got to ask, red or blue when it comes to football?
It's not that straightforward, unfortunately, or however you want to look. I'm a Liverpool fan, so my mum is from Liverpool. My dad's also from Sheffield, so he's a Sheffield Wednesday fan. So I imagine that was a pretty quick conversation in terms of setting your son up for a life of happiness. But it definitely gave me some character going through the Manchester school system as a Liverpool fan.
I can imagine. I can see you getting beaten up behind the bike sheds, right?
Liverpool went through a decent stage of winning a few games against United there. We just couldn't win titles. So, yeah, you pick your battles, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. So, you're still involved in rugby. Tell us where that started and how you think the game's developing over here in the US.
So I'm from Salem, Manchester. So, I mean, Manchester's just a nucleus for sport. And, I mean, different types of sport, different athletes, like it's a hotbed. So, again, fortunate enough to kind of find rugby there. It was actually soccer, football, as you would call it. Like that was always kind of number one. That just is in Manchester. It always will be, frankly. Rugby was something that I got introduced to from my dad. He took us down Sale Sharks, Sale Rugby Club, as it was at the time, the professional rugby team that just happened to be, again, Sale's a town, but they were playing in the Premier League, Premier Division. I got introduced to it there. I played soccer and rugby growing up. Played soccer right the way through to probably 14 and then transitioned to rugby from there. But I would be lying to say that, you know, I watch more soccer than I watch rugby now. Like I might play rugby, but you don't have that kind of, it's in your DNA, I guess, kind of if you're kind of born and raised there.
Kind of same situation as me. I went to a grammar school and they only play rugby. So we play rugby during the week and then I play, you know, football at the weekends. And began my career as a fullback and hence the 10 concussions later. I can barely remember my name. loved rugby, still love rugby. And, I think the Six Nations is one of the most elite sporting events in the world of sports.
No, definitely. And I think, look, there's actually a really funny line from a guy that's just won his 100th cap. He was a guy called Danny Kaye, who was part of actually Sheffield Wednesday's academy system. He said that all rugby players are failed soccer players, which is it might sound like a joke. It really is true. Like most of those people are growing up playing soccer and either they're either the body shape or their progression or whatever it may be just kind of ends up filtered. But there's definitely a lot of crossover. There's a lot of soccer influence in rugby, as there is in other sports as well. So,
do you think one sport helps the other? And if you were to put your hand up in the air, which one would be the more dominant, do you think, in helping the other?
Soccer is more influential on your ability to play rugby and probably a lot of sports also, honestly, as well. I think there's actually a lot of studies and, you know, kind of literature around this stuff now where, kind of single sport specialism is something that basically is proven to not talk to elite performance or, you know, your ability to kind of play at a certain level further down the line. That you talk about sports like soccer, basketball, trying to think now. I mean, like, I would almost go into kind of like your wrestling sports where I think the movement is more fluid and there's a little bit more kind of you know, kind of each case is going to be different. I think they're very influential sports in terms of not just people's ability to play them at a high level, but also actually how they, I mean, sports are kind of microcosm of life, isn't it? I think that there's a lot of lessons in there which are probably a little bit that offer some great like diversity, and you know, you're making decisions and moving at the same time, trying to control your body, like all that sort of stuff. So I mean, to go back to your question, like soccer I think is a hugely influential sport, even if it isn't necessarily that it produces, you know, kind of ultimately soccer players. I think it actually builds a lot of athletes and a lot of successful people out of it, frankly.
You mentioned a word, specialization, and it's something that I think we see very much here in the US. Not sure what's going on in Europe. Why do you think specialization is, in fact, hindering athletes and not helping them?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, it's kind of, as the attention around these areas, I mean, some of the logic has kind of been tried and challenged a little bit more. So I think it's fair to say now, just from what data is out there, that it isn't proven to work consistently, and to a point it's almost kind of advised against. I think the reason for that, and again, this is, you know, kind of coming from me, I think, look, kids find sport and we all get introduced to it. And the idea is that you should love it, that you should, you know, kind of be able to develop skills, relationships, socially, you know, practical skills, all those sort of things. And I think, honestly, just as soon as you get into single sport specialism, the focus on those areas gets less and less, and the focus on performance becomes more and more. And I mean, it's probably no different if you compare it to a job and being, you're working for somebody or an organization that purely evaluates you on your performance, you're probably not going to feel good too often. Even if you're successful, just because you feel like a little bit of a, you can be, more like just an object as opposed to kind of person with thoughts and feelings and all those sort of things. So I do think there's that side of it, you know, kind of mentally for the performer. There's also, you know, I think as well, there's just actually a lot more to be, I always think about things like diet. I think like if you're just eating the same food every day, at some point, like there's probably a limitation on it. If we were to draw a wheel on the perfect nutritional plan, all that stuff, it'd tick every box and it'd have enough of certain things and more of some things and others. Like, so I think it kind of comes back to that in terms of like from a, you know, a health or a, I'd say health in a broader term, health, sustainability, all those sort of things. I think that's where really you kind of, once you get into, and also interest levels as well, like people just want to stay interested in doing the same thing all the time, it's inevitable it's going to start losing some appeal. So those are probably just a few thoughts that jump out.
So it's a bit of a challenging conundrum for you though with Captain You, where you're looking at creating opportunities for kids to play at the next level collegiately, and parents, always comes back to parents, you know, they've got their child and they see a pathway whereby, and let's use soccer as the example, they're going to go and have a 4-year career as a potential soccer player. Isn't it then vital that they're concentrating purely on one sport and not having the environment of other sports touching them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think a couple of things jump out there. So first and foremost, I think the single sport specialism that, you know, again, and I'm not an expert in that space, but I think that really talks more to kind of like the entry level to sports. So again, if you've got like young children, for example, that are first kind of interacting with sport, purely putting them in one field and only exposed to one type of thing. I mean, same like anything really. If they're only seeing the same things all the time, there's that ceiling. So there's some of that I think it's certainly more applicable at a younger age. And I do think in terms of your performance pathways or like long-term athlete development, it obviously then ramps up in terms of the amount of touch points, the amount of time, the amount of support that they get in certain things that then talks to their ability to perform in them. So to take your example with soccer, like, sure, if you want to kind of think of it as a, you know, almost like a chart, like their time around soccer should inevitably go up if they want to see you know, their performance, the skill kind of meet with that. But I think that the important thing to kind of do there, and this, you know, might be a little bit unpopular because it's hard to quantify, but it's like, it should talk to the interest of the person. Like, if they're not interested, and sure, there's times and we all have to do things that we don't necessarily want to do, but like, if you've got a kid that is 12 years old and isn't enjoying soccer and continuously isn't enjoying soccer, then there's probably a little bit of that which is staring you in the face, at least initially. But yeah, I mean, you know, on the other side of it, and not to jump kind of black and white, there's obviously, you know, how much practice, how much support, like what resource you've got available, like, you know, even to the point of like, you know, it's not just necessarily, again, you know, how much time do you literally put into it, but what's the quality of it? Like how much kind of, deliberate practice is going into those things? Like, again, what's the variety of it? Again, it kind of comes back to the same sort of things. And again, it is a little bit difficult to kind of talk to because it isn't something you can actually kind of quantify. Like there's the 10,000 hour, which has kind of been, again, demythed as well to a point, because again, I could spend 10,000 hours sat on a soccer field doing nothing. It's not the same as, you know, some of those other things of higher quality. So, to answer your question and go back to it, like, yes, there should be that sort of ramp up if you typically look at it from a performance standpoint. But again, everyone's got their own journey. Everyone's got their own, you know, kind of dynamics they're working with. And I think that's the bit that shouldn't be overlooked and, you know, kind of programmed in a robotic sense, if you like.
I've spent 10,000 hours on a guitar and I'm still utterly crap, yeah. Which is really frustrating. Let's talk about how Captain You helps in terms of performance analysis, high performance, and that recruitment component. If I'm a parent, what am I looking for?
So, yeah, I mean, to start off with what Captain You, so Captain You really is there to try and simplify the recruitment space as best we can for principally for college coaches and for athletes, because that's again what it boils down to. But we also work with like events and tournaments and kind of support them. Really the goal of Captain You is to try and help athletes and college coaches find each other. Our approach is a pretty holistic one in the sense that we don't act in an agency type sense, if you like. So we're not marketing athletes to college coaches and saying you should definitely pick Jesse over Jane or Tim over Tom or anything like that. That really what we want to kind of do is build a place where, and again, if you think about kind of the development of the person as well, like what we want to achieve in Captain You is we obviously want to help them get recruited, but we also want to empower them through that process. And I believe there's life skills that kind of go, there's life skills you can pull out of anything, but recruitment is so dynamic, like even, you know, kind of years ago, it's a little bit steadier than it is right now. But you know, for somebody in, for example, California that wants to talk to college coaches across the country, Captain You provides that opportunity for them. We have basically, they can contact any college coach in the country, like they can send that message, they can get themselves in front of them. And exposure is a big part of the name of the game as well in recruitment, just actually physically being able to kind of create some of that opportunity and time in front of busy college coaches that can only be in certain places at certain times. And you know, there's already kind of all those people that are around you when you're never be doing those things like showcases. So, I think that, I mean, that probably tells you what Captain You does. I think in its most stripped back form, that is what we're here to do. There's tools and, you know, kind of techniques that we work with as well. But I guess that's what we do.
Tell me how the transfer portal has upended college recruitment, and obviously, you know, without delving into too much, because when I have been in discussions with incoming freshmen this time around and talking to coaches, you know, they're telling me, well, we're not actually looking for freshmen anymore. You know, we can delve into the portal and get experienced players already. So has that changed your business model at all?
That's an excellent question. That space has become really relevant in the past couple of years. It's not new, but the relevance of it and the impact of it is a lot higher. I think just to go to one key point that you raised there, and this is a challenge, right? Because, you know, Captain You, we're trying to help high school student athletes get recruited and play on college teams. you're right. Like, college coaches are absolutely looking for respectfully, I think most college coaches, or a higher number of them, are now looking at, okay, can I get a 1 year player of a higher quality that can come in and score 20 goals for me next year, or can I work with a 4 year recruit? Now, so it's really interesting. Let's put it that way. I think there's it depends on the coach, and it also depends on, you know, the athlete, what they're looking for. I don't think you can debunk the fact that if you can get a ready-made player to come in and make, that's got the ability to impact the team straight away, is there a higher immediate return on that than somebody that's maybe, you know, more of a project or more of a 4 year player? I think that kind of stands by itself. I think the bit which is really interesting seeing right now is there's obviously a lot more. You look at, say, college football, for example. It's a more physical sport, and it's also one of the sports where you're more likely to get fired from your job. So those are that gets a lot more of the press as well. Basketball would be another one as well, where, again, the physics and, you know, the profile of it, the money in it, there's just more attrition. So those get a lot of press. Soccer, it's definitely happening because coaches want to win. Players want to win. That's why they move programs as well. A lot of the time, they also want to play. But I think, again, just in terms of we're very fresh into kind of the response of this. I'd certainly be interested to see it play out over the next kind of 5-10 years and kind of actually how it settles and, you know, all the other things kind of that relate to it kind of play out. But I, and this is just my personal standpoint, I don't mean to sound like a walking sales pitch, but the value you can get on having, building a program is really by having key figures and key personnel and the impact that they can have on your program. And for some people, they can do that in 1 year. They can elevate a program by bringing in a top player. That's not exclusive to college sport. But the value in having a 4 year or 5 year player over that duration, and actually the ability to build a program, build a culture, build sustainability in that as well, I think is where, I don't want to say it'd be unfair to say it's being overlooked, but that doesn't get press right now. And again, I think just to give some statistics on it, I think from the top 25 ranked football programs back end of last year, Michigan being one of them, end up being national champions, they still recruited more freshmen than they did transfer athletes. So your ability to build a program is what you'll hear a lot of college coaches talk about, you know, and wanting to win time and time and time again. That still goes to getting recruitment right. And you know, there's plenty of examples. I'll give Liverpool one. Like, you do great recruitment and it ties to your long-term success, and it ties to having athletes with you for as long a duration as you can keep them for.
So when you talk to college coaches, what are the components they're looking for within their recruitment process?
What, in terms of skill or like...
The whole package, you know, skill, character... Education,
yeah, okay.
You know.
Yeah, it's a good question as well. Character is always the one that comes out. I think the challenge with character is that it's more difficult to find out. Like, so it, you know, and it's objective as well. So, like, you know, you could meet someone for 2-3 times, and I think just being completely transparent, it's like job interviews. Like, you're only ever given the best version of yourself when you meet these people for 2-3 times, and you're making a decision based off of the next 4 years of your life and your education that goes with it. So it's a little bit of it's not the most transparent way, you know, just for human beings to interact, if you want to look at it that way. But character is always the one that jumps out. And I think the other thing that we, you know, talking internally with our team here at Captain U, we talk a lot about, you know, kind of, you know, how many lessons have been learned out of like walk-on athletes or, you know, undrafted free agents. And again, maybe not necessarily always through, you know, maybe not through soccer necessarily, but like there's so many examples of people that end up having the most incredible careers or just, you know, like just role models, just frankly people that change the game, like in what they do, and where they were at 16, 17 or 18 is not where they end up at 35, 36. So, you know, and that's the bit that talks to character. Like, there's people that mature and stuff like that, but principally I don't think you get, you know, kids at 17 or 18 who don't have a that same, you know, core character, if you like, kind of going through there. So that's obviously a big one. It's also one that can quite quickly be overlooked when you see someone that's really good playing soccer very well on a soccer field. So that's, I mean, the big one is character, to answer your question. But again, like, it's a, it's easier said than done.
Yeah, so character, though, as you rightly described, you can't really measure it. You know, it really is an intangible. I mean, are there tests, are there personality tests that you give to prospective clients where you can get a sense of who they are and then be able to match them up with the right college, the right system, the right coach, the right program?
It's not something that we do, no. It's something that I think, in terms of, again, being frank, I think there's a place for it right now, because, like you say, like, we're in a data-driven world, like, and equally, people want to find what they're looking for. So, you know, having data that supports that would reinforce recruitment practice, and, you know, even of course the athlete's ability to find the right place that they're going to enjoy excellent education and excellent athletic career as well. It's not something that we do, but I do think that there's ways that I think it's a pretty new involvement in professional sport as well. If you look at, you know, kind of some of the professional outfits that are doing that stuff now, it's not, again, as easy is it as we'd like it to be, because it's not definitive. And again, there's some press around the NFL draft in terms of evaluations and tests and things like that. We do have people that we talk to that you know, we potentially may be kind of working with down the line in fields like that, to kind of help support at least just better information as a principle, as opposed to like conclusive information. But again, that talks more to, in terms of where Captain Ewers is from, that holistic approach of being, we don't feel it's our role to say that this person fits with this program or this. And again, that does leave a gap for the coach and the athlete to figure that out. But the two most important people should be the people that should have the most say in that, as opposed to being any. I think we can guide, and that's something that Captain U looks to do, but we don't do it in that way.
Describe the challenge to me of the kid, the parents, they've got their heart set on UCLA, and you have a great understanding of what the level is, and you realize that this player, child, young adult has got no chance. How do you navigate that very delicate conversation?
Again, this is me personally. There's value in being honest. There's really high valuation in that, in terms of actually setting expectation and, you know, kind of giving people the best chance to succeed and have that display in the right light. I also, again, personally, I'm not necessarily a believer at the same time as saying I can't tell you what your dreams are, and that's not something, again, that we kind of work with in Captain U so much, where we're saying, nah, you're not going to be going to UCLA, like, you need to be looking at blah 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 or wherever. I think you can kind of guide some of that stuff with honesty and, again, just information. A lot of stuff right now, as you said there, like, it is a bit robotic, but it is also how we all work now, just with the amount of information that's available. Like, a lot of things are data driven. So, like, I always think from a coaching standpoint, and this is, you know, probably talks to most sports, but like, if you're not one of the top two, three people on the field or the court, or, you know, whatever you're doing, like, there's some immediate feedback for you there in terms of, like, you know, are you ready to step up to that next level and succeed at the next level? Because there are different things as well. You can might be able to get to the next level, but can you succeed at the next level? It's a difficult thing to navigate, potentially, because, again, you're talking about different people, different reactions, all those things. You want to kind of build people up to again pursue things and pursue them successfully. So I think, with that said, like, again, I go back to the character thing. Like, I think, as much as we like to think we know sport, you know, as much as data likes to tell us that it knows what it's talking about, you will consistently find stories in sport that don't belong there when you look at those data things. So, again, without kind of going through the long list, but, like, you have got undrafted free agents that have gone and been Hall of Famers. You've got Tom Brady is probably the most obvious one, right? You know, sixth round, overlooked by everybody at least five times. is walking around as arguably one of the best sportsmen that's ever lived. So, like, as I say, like, I think that's the other bit of it as well, is I think you can invest in character, you can invest in support. The end goal isn't as necessarily as linear as in, you know, well, they're going to end up there, can they get there right now? It might be that this is a kid that goes somewhere for 2 years or a year later, and they just do something astronomical because they've got that passion, that support, that heart, all those things we talk about there that you can't measure. So, yeah, I mean, as I say, it's a personal thing. I don't like to take dreams off the table, but if that's truly where you're fixated, we do have to have an honest assessment of where you're at and actually what it would take to get to that point based off that.
It's interesting you mentioned data, and I'll bring my own child into this. So he's a sophomore. He's actually quite a good kicker on the football team and can knock 50 yarders, which, according to the football coaches, is like, oh, it's fantastic. You know, he's got a real chance. And then, you know, thankfully, he's also quite a good football player, and he plays a six. But as you probably know, you know, the six isn't the one who scores the goals or makes the assists. He's the one doing the dirty work, you know, breaking up tackles and, you know, running up and down the field. And unless you've got trackers on them, it's very hard to quantify that. So as data becomes more and more important, how do you promote an athlete that does intangibles but doesn't have data?
Yeah. So I think data is desirable. It's not, I wouldn't go as far as to say it is essential. You're going to get people that tell you it is essential. If you've got a highlight reel that shows that you're a really good soccer player, there's a good chance that you'll get recruited at the level that you're wanting to go to. If you've got, and again, you know, highlights and film reels, that's data. It's evidence, right? You're just trying to build up a bank of evidence. I think in terms of, it's becoming more challenging. That's definitely something to be acknowledged in that. Because you could equally get people that are actually going to get recruited because they have data, and therefore it reinforces more, you know, stronger evaluation or stronger evidence on, okay, well, I can at least say I've made this decision based off of data or off this thing, as opposed to just something objective. That also doesn't take away from the fact that, like, you know, coaching isn't a new thing. Like, data is relatively new. Coaching isn't a new thing. Like, if a coach can see you and see, you know, see some of those intangible things, or actually see the impact that you're having on a game, which again, can't truly measure, you know, kind of to your point there, like, there's a very good chance that that is going to get noticed. Like, so again, you kind of refer to it as the coach's eye. Like, there's a battle right now between the coach's eye and data, because you can definitely go down the data and be like, I'm being smart, I'm doing things that, you know, coaching hasn't traditionally been done via. And you've equally got the people who have been like, data's whatever. Like, I know what I'm looking at. I've got my notepad and my pencil, and it's served me well for 20 years. I don't need something new. So there's that wiggle room. I think, look, I mean, just being frank, I think if you are going to struggle to get recruited if you don't have video, because then you're purely exposing yourself to whoever literally gets to see you with their own eyes. That said, there are other ways that it can be done. You know, you can, you know, and I'm not saying that these are the ways to get recruited, but like, you can receive things like testimonials, evaluations. They're things that we often captain you as well. I think the other thing that, you know, people can be creative about is actually things like, you know, I go back to, again, recruitment is very similar to like job hunting and, you know, that kind of process. Like, maybe the athlete's got a CV. Maybe it's a really eye-catching CV, and maybe it's got photos, and maybe it's got things like testimonials, it's got some of their background, things like that. And, you know, I think there's a couple of different ways that you can be creative without having necessarily kind of like your kilometers run and, you know, sprints per game and all those sort of things. Like, that's not truly needed. It's desirable. It definitely helps, but it should definitely not stop anybody from being able to be recruited and being creative about, okay, well, what information can I display that, you know, can positively reflect my skills as a player, as an athlete, as a student athlete, and as a person?
I love that. Definitely a creative way of selling yourself in a way that is different, but at the same time can be eye catching. So if I'm a parent, I'm a player, I'm listening to the Bear on the Ball, how do we get in contact with Danny Carlton at Captain U and become part of your system that's going to help us get to the promised land?
So a couple of ways. So Captain, you've just recently partnered and become the official recruiting software of CalSouth. So for players that are taking part in the CalSouth tournaments, and again, just actually interacting with CalSouth, there should be multiple opportunities where you're able to see Captain U's name. And again, we're an extension of the recruiting arm of Stack Sports that also operates with Sports Connect. So there'll be a lot of the families, coaches, players, etc., that are already familiar with Stack Sports software, which Captain U falls under. So there will be opportunities to do that. There'll be opportunities through your club where you'll be able to receive things like a profile for Captain U. We offer a 2-week free profile when people come in, so they can kind of see what it's about, see what happens, see what messages they receive from coaches, see what responses they get from coaches, things like that. There's also the Captain U website as well, which is captainu.com. And again, we'll be out at the Soccer de Mayo tournament on not this week, as we're filming it now, but in just over a week's time, that I know that there'll be a big audience for. So we'll be out face to face with that. If anybody's got any direct questions, they're more than welcome to email me as well. I'll be happy to talk to anybody that's got questions around that. My email is danny@captainu.com.
Danny Carlton, Sales Director for Captain U. Thank you so much for joining the Bear and the Ball. And for more on CalSouth, please visit CalSouth. Find us on Instagram, find us on Facebook, and find us on X. And of course, find Captain U on CalSouth. We'll be back next week with more from Bear and the Ball.